Lime, duh.
Yeah. Wow. Let's record it, NYC, baby. Hello. Whoa. Woo. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. Black, a.k.a. Donski, Black Amora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling, clap for myself, Donnie Wrestling, clap for myself, a.k.a. the modern-day goof and spoof, Raja, yeah, coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba, wee, yeah. This girl, she's mine. Damn, she's fine. Wow, this is hard to do with no voice.
Let me tell you something. Let's just not do it then. Let's get to the goods.
Let's get to the goods. Let's get into it right now. All right. I am officially in New York City, Thanksgiving week.
It's official.
I am with Jason Shapiro.
That's official.
My hetero life mate, my best friend since I'm 5 years old.
Can we call me your better half?
I think that's supposed to be my wife.
I'm better than that.
All right, guys. You heard it here second. Officially, my wife is now my worst half.
She's your worst half. Shep, I'm your better half. And there's no room for Danny Black. Who is Danny? Oh, there we go.
Schweppes original.
Duh?
This is what they, duh?
Huh?
Duh.
Wait, I thought it was lime, huh?
Anyway, everybody, I'm here in New York. I'm here with Schweppes. As you guys know, he's my best friend forever. We got into it. We talk about wrestling constantly. I'm not going to bog this thing down with a set of stuff. I got things to talk about. Wait, but this thing might veer all over the place.
It's going
to
veer.
We get into it.
Yep.
Okay? I want to just say, if you're listening to the show, you've been listening to the show all year, think about supporting the show. We are grassroots, okay? The best way to support us is patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes. I got my bonus Fallout episode from Survivor Series and War Games. I recorded in my mom's closet at 1 a.m. in Long Island, New York. You can get access to that now and all of our bonus episodes, plus our 9-to-5 annual summit episode will be coming out on Christmas Day for patrons. And Shep's already committed to being in the mix.
I let me tell you something. If I didn't show up,
yeah,
there wouldn't be a fucking episode.
Well, you hear what we're dealing with
it'd
here,
be a
guys.
Bunch of fucking idiots.
Wrestling has affected this guy's personality to a high degree.
It'd be a bunch of fucking... Who would want to listen to 8 hours of not me? I don't understand how you could... If I wasn't there, you'd have to postpone it till next Christmas.
I can hear the listeners turning this off.
They're turning it up.
You're the Heenan. You're like the Bobby Heenan of this pod.
And what's that man's nickname?
The Brains.
And what did I get on my SATs?
1510.
That's goddamn right. Jason the Brain Shapiro.
Out of 2400.
I was out of 16 at the time.
Okay. Smart guy. Book all smart. Right. Book
can
smart.
Can I say one thing? Yeah. Can I say one? Oh, do you have more?
No, I have more to say. I have more to say.
Okay.
Right now, on sale now, the official Dan Black is one of my guys, t-shirt. All the money from this, from these t-shirts go right back into the podcast and all of our plans for 2020 to upgrade a bunch of equipment in studio. You can get these shirts right now. You can email cowmerchshop@gmail.com. The shirts are $30 shipped if you are a patron, okay? If you're a patron and you want to get this shirt, you will also get a Cow Mania shirt for that same price, plus a Lauren Moran print. That's our Dan Black Friday deal.
Wow, that's good for you, Dan Black Friday.
The Dan Black Friday. So becoming a patron, if you think about supporting the show, you can also get access to this deal, 2 t-shirts for $30. Come on. Dan Black Friday doorbuster.
It's a doorbuster. That Cow Mania shirt. That's limited to dish.
Yeah.
That's a single
Once we're out of them.
That's been issued one time, and it is done. You can't get that anywhere. And let me tell you, that might be one of the finest wrestling shirts that's been printed. People love that shirt.
That's another Lauren Moran. And Lauren Moran designed all the print, obviously.
What's the best Lauren Moran, your favorite Lauren Moran shirt she's ever designed?
Oh, of ours?
Ever.
I love the, I personally love the Calmania shirt.
Okay.
I personally love the Calmania shirt because of the homage to the Andre, Andrea Savage. Yeah. Wait, Andrea Savage.
She's
named after, people don't know that. Great comedian named after Andre the Giant and Macho Man Randy Savage.
She was born 5 years after they were both in the zeitgeist, but her parents just, they were real big on the indies.
Yeah. But anyway, to get that shirt, you could also just imagine what say his last thing. You can just Facebook message me or Nick Tulo or Aaron Finnerty. Message the Instagram at Cal Podcast. There's a million ways. Just get in touch with us. We're accessible. Yeah.
The best Lauren Moran shirt. Did she do the Bachelor Cup shirt? No.
Yeah.
She did Bachelor.
She designed your Bachelor Party shirt.
The Lost Bachelor Party shirt?
Yeah.
Secret Bachelor Party that never happened.
Bachelor for life.
I am, as of right now, still a bachelor.
Yeah, that's right.
I am in the Bachelor Club for life for now. We'll see how it goes. I'm waiting for that
The shirt worked anyway.
The shirt, though, was fantastic.
Yeah.
We all loved
Jason
the shirt.
Jason was supposed to have a wedding,
have a wedding.
But now it's Bachelor Club
for life.
But it works either way. It was like, yeah, well, that was the Bachelor Club because we went on his bachelor party, or this guy's a perpetual bachelor. You cannot peg this man down. It's because it's for life.
For the record, regardless of what's going on with me personally, that shirt is incredible. That's an incredible work of art, that thing.
Absolutely. Laura Moran is, we're happy to have her. We're lucky to have her,
frankly.
We don't deserve
it. That girl's a professional.
Anyway, we got to talk wrestling.
Sure. I wanted to say a couple things. One, I want to say when you were first talking about the shirts, you're like, hey guys, all the proceeds are going to go. And then in my head, I was thinking about like real legit people. And they're like, to this charity.
No,
like,
they go back into my podcast.
Like, they're all going to go to buying me stuff and equipment and title belts.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I wanted it to go to, like, a nice wrestling charity like the Connor's Cure or the Wounded Warrior Foundation.
No.
So what I'm going to say is I'm going to be releasing limited edition Shebsomania t-shirts.
Yeah.
J. Shebs gear. Jason the Brain Shabiro will have his own line of gear, limited dish in the Cal shop for 2020, and all the proceeds will be going to the Wounded Warrior Foundation.
All right, that's going to really undercut the...
You can either buy Dan's bullshit or you can help the goddamn troops. That's your call.
Here's what I will say to you guys. All of it's going to go back into the podcast, okay? I have an actual plan of stuff that we want to purchase. You can ask and Nosh. But what I can guarantee is if they release a Fiend personalized championship...
Oh, sure.
Part of that will probably get allocated over there.
Which is, honestly, it's very noble and it's important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meanwhile, I'm going to buy a guy a fucking new leg. All right? So you make the choice.
All right. Anyway, can we talk about breath?
Now, I got one other thing to say.
Okay.
You, in that intro, you were exasperated. You were exhausted.
I know. My voice is
done. You've been going through a lot because you're actually having fun here in New York.
Yeah. I have actual friends in New York.
What these listeners don't know is you also did another intro that we had to stop in media res, taking even more of your precious energy away because Arlen called you and you had to stop to talk to Arlen, which you should never do. It's a good policy. I never stop anything for Arlen. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So I will be releasing on the Facebook group the original intro to the show. You heard it here first.
Okay. All right, fine. We will release that. That's fine.
That is
news.
Bonus content.
All right, Shebs.
Yeah.
We are coming off. We're coming off Survivor Series. We're coming off War Games, and we're coming off a Monday Night Raw.
Yes,
and we're recording this before AEW tonight.
Right,
on the East Coast, it's actually impossible to record before AEW happens. But we know that. I mean, I'm ecstatic to see AEW tonight. We have a Chris Jericho title fight that was reverse psychology. Do you saw that?
You told me about it.
Scorpio Sky literally is like, I don't think we should put the title. We'll have the match next week, but I don't think we should put the title on the line. Jericho's like, oh, you don't want the title on the line? And then he literally just got tricked, and it never dawned on him what had happened, that he got worked. It was very funny. Very good.
How good is Jericho to be able to sell something that stupid?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he could pull it off believably is great. He's so good.
Jericho's amazing. But I want to get into... I want to go. Well, I have a couple of places we should go, but I kind of want to extend the Adam Cole conversation that we were having at dinner the other night
from the bonus content.
Yes. So
can I ask you a question first? And it might lead into this. Is that, you know, look, Arlen has not been watching wrestling for 6 months plus, right?
Right.
I've been having a spotty situation. I'm watching as much as I can get to.
Yeah.
But honestly, in this climate, I'm mostly just watching AEW because I only have X hours a week.
Right.
I don't want to miss that. So
this is what I want to hear. I want to hear what.
Right.
Because I'm watching it all.
Right.
Okay. Well, I have the pod. I have an obligation to it. But I'm curious what the working man.
Right. So the thing is, if I could only watch like 2 hours or 3 hours mm-hmm. or 4 hours a week, it's gonna be AEW cold. I rarely miss AEW.
Right.
Right. And then you'll tell me what the cool shit was from the week. Maybe I'll pop on some WWE content. However, this was obviously a huge WWE weekend, right?
Yes.
Is War Games always right before Survivor Series?
It has been.
Okay, I like that tradition, right? Yes. Having War Games into Survivor Series, I like that a lot.
But this is the first year that they were remotely connected.
Right, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool, but it was also extremely convoluted.
What isn't in wrestling? But my question for you was going to be, and I thought it was maybe going to lead to Adam Cole, but we have War Games, we have Survivor Series, we have Raw. Who do you think won the cycle? Like, whose weekend was it?
Oh, I mean NXT?
No, like what talent? What individual person or group of people?
Adam Cole,
baby.
Yeah, I mean Undisputed Era, except for I didn't understand why have Undisputed Era lose that match?
Sure.
Because you're like, you know, you're like the other team's a hodgepodge. Why not have it like Undisputed Era, a bunch of small guys who wear all the same gear. They all have such great group mind and teamwork that like even a group of monsters they could take down.
And did they win the first War Games?
I don't remember.
I believe they won the original War Games.
They didn't win the War Games that I was at last year, I don't think.
But I don't think that was the original. I think they won the original one.
That was Ricochet with like with the War Machine.
I'm not sure, but I think maybe they won some. I don't know. The point is, like, it'd be great if someone's specialty was, oh, we're a War Games fucking team, right? But the reason I don't think.
Well, that would make War Games make some sense.
Sure. There's a reason. If you had to point to a reason why Undisputed Era lost War Games, it's because they got to lose something, and there's actually no stakes to War Games, right? Like, it's very cool to keep all those guys draped in gold, dripping in swag.
Right, so they have to lose some matches so they're not, like, infallible or
otherwise,
whatever.
Otherwise, it's just boring. If they just win every single time, it's like, well, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's good. And plus, they just had that ending spot.
Well, right. Well, look, the thing
and
is,
they're a bunch of little weasels. Like, the ending of that match was like, let's throw all these motherfuckers through tables.
Which was great.
And then drop Adam Cole from the top.
Which was great. Now, if you're going to talk about extending the Adam Cole conversation, we need to start that conversation by saying that we both agree that the star of the weekend, the person who owned this very good wrestling weekend, was Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, baby.
Had the best War Games, had the best Survivor Series, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
you're saying that the Dunn match was the best part of the show?
That was my favorite match of Survivor Series.
I think that my best part of that, you thought it was the best match of Survivor Series?
Yes. I
thought it was a great match. I did think that just the fact that when he just walked out and I was like, wow, after that bump, he's going to wrestle right now.
Right.
That was enough for me. Like,
sure.
just that alone.
You know what? Well, you know, I loved the finishing spot. That was an A-plus finish.
The one from War Games?
Well, from War Games, sure. I'm talking about the reason why I like the Pete Dunne, Adam Cole match at Survivor Series is that finish I've never seen before, and it was wonderful. Now, the Shining Wizard, I don't like it.
Shining Wizard is just kind of like a kick to the back.
It's
of
like
a running kick.
A hard running knee kick to the back of a sitting opponent.
You don't like those kind of. You don't like strike finish.
It's ridiculous to me. However, the lead into that, the bitter end being countered into a Panama Sunrise was a real nice bit of wrestling.
Yeah, the Panama Sunrise is part of what makes Adam Cole work for me.
Right.
Like, because I think when you're a smaller guy, you need a move that makes it that you can believably really fucking fuck people up.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That's what it's all about. That's why I don't like moves, particularly strike finishes or moves that just don't look like they're going to take someone out.
Right.
Because, like, well, what's that going to do?
What do you like, Kinshasa?
Kinshasa, look, I don't like strike finishes as a rule. The Kinshasa, if you were going to jump at
Clothesline from Hell.
That one's actually good.
Yeah.
Claymore is actually good.
Yeah.
Aleister Black's is actually good. Some of them just
Black
work.
Black Mass, money.
The Black Mass is fantastic.
Yeah.
Terrible movie with Johnny Depp, but it's a great finisher.
Yeah.
But some strike finishers don't work. Notoriously, I hate Daniel Bryan's The Knee that he does, because it has fucking name.
Well, I wanted to point this out to you before I do. Michael Cole calls it that patented running knee.
That's a good name for a finisher. That patented running knee. It's a fucking insult.
It's hilarious. Like, he patented it.
Yeah, it's an insult to fucking wrestling fans everywhere. Yeah. And one time, I think I challenged.
I want to say on record, I love the knee.
Look, I want to say on record.
I pop for it every time.
I want to say on record that people say, oh, well, if you got hit with that, you won't want to. I'm like, look, man, I would rather get hit with 10 of those than one black mass. If you jumped as high as you could and tapped my knee with your chin, do you know how little fucking force you would have behind that?
Do you know how much I love Daniel Bryan? He comes on the screen, and if my wife's in the room, I'm like, Jamie, look, Daniel Bryan.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hijack this conversation.
Yeah. But I've already understood that this convo is not going to be as linear as it should be.
My non-wife, Chet, who hates wrestling.
Is that what it is now?
She's not my wife, but we still live together. We're going to figure out what the next step is here.
I like this is the runner.
We're going to fight. Look, she hates wrestling, obviously.
Yeah.
But she's an actor. She's a performer.
Right.
She has a theater background.
Right.
So sometimes she can appreciate it. She's been to wrestling. She did enjoy it, but she just doesn't like how much wrestling is in like my life. She doesn't like that like at 3 a.m. you'll call me and talk for 2 hours about fucking Keith Lee. She's like, what are you doing? Come to bed and
the
fuck
quantity
me.
Of wrestling.
It's too much.
Mixed with the conversation of wrestling. We had
it's relationship killing.
We should talk about this moment. Me, you, and Jamie were on a conference call. But here's the deal. Jamie was like, look, guys, we had a call the day before where we talked about, you were explaining the screw job to Jamie.
I was not explaining the screw job to Jamie. I was explaining that Dark Side of the Ring on Vice has a documentary about the screw job, and so does NPR. Has like an audio documentary. And I was explaining that the Montreal Screwjob documentary on Vice is not as palatable or universal as the Andre the Giant movie or the Ric Flair doc. ESPN and HBO both made content that anyone could appreciate because they're bigger networks with a wider audience.
Right.
And Vice made a more niche thing. I was not explaining to her the Screwjob. She's your wife. So I assume she knows the Screwjob.
We get on another call. And my this is what's funny about it. We get another call. My wife's like, guys, can we just not talk about the wrestling right now? Okay. And then me and Jason had nothing to say.
That's not how it worked. Here's how it went. We talked for an hour about Screwjob the day before.
Yeah.
The next day, you call me from the road. You're like, hey, me and Jamie are driving. We got a lot of time to kill. Just wanted to check in, see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, great. And then what did we start chatting about real quick? I don't even remember.
We were talking about The Rock coming out with the bad BMF title.
Oh, we weren't even talking about. So then we were talking about how that UFC at 225 or 224 at Madison Square. We're like, hey, did you see Nate Diaz versus Masvidal? The Rock came out and made up his own UFC
that's
belt.
Basically wrestling, though.
That's UFC. That's actual sports. The point is,
you say Chet, you're non-wife.
Hold on.
Okay.
Jamie didn't say, hey, could you guys not talk about wrestling? That's not what she fucking said, man. She said, no, we're not talking about wrestling right now. I don't want you guys. You are not talking about wrestling right now. I thought she was kidding, but she was not.
No.
Then we're like, okay, Jamie, we won't talk about wrestling, I guess.
Well, the other part of it you don't know is that before I called you, she was like, fine, we can call Shebs, but just like, do we have to talk about wrestling?
And
it went to wrestling immediately.
Yes. All right.
And like, we couldn't even help it.
We are tangenting on a tangent.
And then once the wrestling got kiboshed.
Yeah.
I really struggled for topics.
We sat in silence. Well, then I asked, like, hey, well, how's the show going, guys? Like, what's going on with the show? And she's like, I don't want to talk about the show right now. I can't talk about the show. I've had enough of it. I was like, Jamie, it's a real fucking deep blacklist you're giving me here.
Yeah.
And then I was
like, talking about the weather?
No, then I said, what do you guys, hey, what's your favorite color?
That's what you said.
That's what we opened with. And then we went from there and we picked it up because we're buddies.
Adam Cole, one of your guys?
I like him a lot. I'm not going to say he's one of my guys.
Dude.
But I like him a lot.
Yeah, I feel like we're both in the same place here.
I'll tell you what.
Here's what I'll say, though. Do you see that psychiatry video?
Yes, that sounds like a psychiatry. Look, we got to wrap. We got to go back to the Inception. We're three layers of Inception deep in this conversation.
Right, let's go back
to it.
Said Daniel Bryan's on the screen.
Okay, you got to go back from the Inception. Reverse Inception from the car ride where Jamie didn't want us to talk about wrestling. Now we back, reverse one layer of the Inception. Now we're talking about Daniel Bryan on the screen.
Yeah.
And no, what actually, with
there's
that.
Your non-fiancé.
Right, well, the non-fiancé layer is, this morning I was finishing up Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And Bray Daniel Bryan package came on. And it's like, Chet, I need you to come in here. You got to watch this package. I got to see. She's like, why do I have to watch? I'm like, I just want to see.
The package for Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Bro.
No,
wait, I have to tell you this.
Okay.
I have to.
All right.
It has to.
Okay.
I did the same thing last night. Yo, I go, Jamie. So Bray, they show the Bray thing. I swear to God, I'm rewatching Bray, so I haven't seen that. I literally go, Jamie, I know it's wrestling, but like, as
you
an
have,
artist.
You have to, that's what I said, I said, Jet, I just want you to know, like, I know you don't like wrestling, but I want you to watch this, and what do you think about what this guy's doing? Like,
that's what exactly, dude, that's crazy. Like, I literally go, you're
like
an artist.
I'm like, it's like a Mr. Rogers thing, but then he also has the feet. Well, actually.
Exactly. I go, he's like Mr. Rogers, but he's also a horror character.
Actually, you know what? At first, yeah. In passing, she saw earlier while I was watching just the Fiend, just something.
Right.
Fiend. She's like, what the fuck is that? That's I don't like that shit. That's scary. And I was like, no, it's just a mask. But he's actually doing like this Mr. Rogers thing, and the Fiend's like one of his characters. Right. He's crazy. So then later, I was like, wait. Okay, now you can see what this thing's about. I want you to just see this is the whole thing. And she was like, yeah, that's definitely cooler than this fucking other guy comes out here in like black tights with boots. He looks like she said he looked like. She thought Daniel Bryan looked like a strong dummy because to the people she knows in real life, Daniel Bryan is muscular.
Right.
So she's like, he's just some like muscle idiot and like he looks like shit and I don't know anything about him from looking at him. Like it's boring. This sucks. This other guy, there's like a lot going on. So she did appreciate the artistry of Bray Wyatt and was impressed with what he was bringing to the art of wrestling because it's just so out of the box. And I was like, yeah, this guy is on another level.
Yeah. So I would say, Jamie, look at this guy. I go, do you think this, like, from a production standpoint, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, it looks good.
No, Chet was actually like, all right, wrestling.
All right, cool.
She was like, I could see that this guy is definitely doing something way more interesting, and I kind of like what he's doing. That's pretty cool.
That's hilarious that we both try to show the Fiend.
Absolutely. You have to show the Fiend to people.
Into wrestling to the level we're at, you're trying to share with your Sigov. You're trying to be like,
You're sick of Sigal.
You try to look for pockets of like this might be something that they'll turn them.
Well, because it's so hard to justify to people. Like, I watch wrestling. I love wrestling. And then whenever they like walk by the screen and look at it, like, what the fuck is this bullshit? Like, I'll tell you what. Earlier that morning, she walked by and it was Baron Corbin leading the Survivor Series team. So it's a fucking douchebag dressed like a king. You got Roman Reigns in a bulletproof vest. Yeah. Who else was on that fucking team? Who else was on SmackDown? Like nothing matched. Like it was all
maybe like Ziggler?
No, it was like Keith Lee.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't Keith Lee. He's on NXT. But it was the SmackDown Survivor Series team and him bossing them all and Baron Corbin. She's like, what the fuck is this?
So when there's moments where we talk about this on the pod now. I call it like, I forgot what I call it, but it's like the embarrassment test or whatever. Like if something, it's like wrestling. If somebody's in the room who's like a wrestling skeptic, you know what I mean? If you could think about what you're watching and be like, well, would I be embarrassed by this or not? Like, that's, you know, they're doing something good.
Right.
So like, I remember the other day, Jamie walked by, I've said this in the pod, but like she walked by and just saw Roman Reigns entering and he like punched the floor and she's just like, what is this?
Yeah.
Cause she's like, why is he wearing this? Why, you know, it's kind of like, why is that guy wearing that? And the other guy's wearing that.
His outfit with the bulldog graphic now was like extra stupid.
Right.
But Chet also has a very, like a real problem with the wet hair culture of wrestling. When she sees Rollins and Reigns, and she's like, this is disgusting. These long, greasy fucking hair soaking wet. This is awful. I was like, that's what a real man looks like.
Well, that's why. AJ, she's more
of
an AJ.
She likes AJ because he has a nice blow dried feathered look, and she can appreciate that.
Adam Cole, baby. So you're saying he's maybe. So Adam Cole, well, in that video, he's in the psychiatrist's office in full gear.
Hold on. We didn't incept back.
All right, where are we at?
We're at Bray Wyatt, the Fiend. We had to show these people the Fiend because it's actually like
intriguing
wrestling. Back one layer. Why are we even talking about that?
I don't know. I don't know.
What are we even talking about on this thing?
I was talking about Adam Cole.
We're talking about strike finishes. Shining Wizard.
Yeah.
Okay, boom. And then we got into Daniel Bryan's knee.
Panama Sunrise.
Back right. Okay, then you like that it's a move that actually looks like it could be damaging for a little guy.
Yes.
I said I hate the Shining Wizard, which I do, but I love the bitter end into the Panama Sunrise, which was great. Now we're talking about Adam Cole in general. Then we'll get to the psychiatry video because it's really not. I don't know why you make me watch this video. It's whatever. It's just fine.
I think the video actually is one of the moments where I kind of understood Adam Cole a little bit.
He's got so much personality.
Yeah. See, he does. He has. I agree that he has a lot of personality, but I also think that he cuts kind of generic promos.
Sure.
And they're written for him, you know.
But he's been in NXT. And he hasn't really had much of a feud.
And that's
where
he could
bring something interesting out of
him. I said, Adam Cole's clearly going to become one of my guys. But at this point, he's not had the promo or the feud that has pushed me over the edge.
Right. For sure. Now, look, the Undisputed Era is a great look. It's a great picture when you have everyone draped in gold. It's all these little indie guys who are fucking cool and pretty good looking, except for Bobby Fish. It's like, it's a good situation, right? The thing about Adam Cole is that he's the best looking of all them.
Yeah.
He has the best promos and the best attitude of all these things.
Yeah.
And he is clearly the coolest dude out of these guys, right?
Right.
Where some guys, whether they're one of your guys or not, whether they have it or not.
Right.
There's another factor, is this guy a fucking cool guy? Like, do I think this guy's like cooler than me? Like, is he cool in high school? Yeah. Which is important. Maybe not to you as a person, but it's important in
did
wrestling.
Did you see that? That's what I said the Undisputed Era's gimmick is.
They're being high school bullies?
I said they're the coolest guys in school.
They're the coolest guys in school.
They're the popular
guys.
That's
exactly what they are. And, and it's and it works, because that's something, a very clear character. And
even down to the Bobby Fish, I think every group of popular guys has the one guy you're like, why is that guy?
Well, he's kind of lame, but he's cool because he's really good at football, so he's like, he's in the crew.
Right, and he just like, they just like him. He makes them laugh.
In a business where you could make up a fake name, why is Bobby Fish keeping his real fucking name? It's Robert Fish.
Robert Fishman.
It's a terrible name.
Bob Fish.
He could be anything.
Bob Fish.
Yeah, that's not a good name.
I like it.
No, you don't. You don't like it. No one likes it. It's a bad name. He should go by fucking Ryan O'Reilly. They should be the Kyle and Ryan O'Reilly brothers.
All right, let's accept this back. So you're saying they're the coolest guys at school?
They're the coolest guys in school. Adam Cole's the coolest one. With the exception of Orange Cassidy, I don't think anyone is like as, I'm a cool guy, as Adam Cole. And Cassidy's doing it as like a goof. Like he's doing it as a caricature. Yeah. Right? Who's like a cooler dude than Adam Cole? It's not Rollins.
I felt like that psychiatry sketch was kind of like what I'm kind of missing.
Yeah.
Where it's like it shows that the narcissistic element or whatever of it, where like he literally, and by the way, just so funny laying a psychiatrist's couch in your full gear with the full wet hair.
For sure.
I mean, that's hilarious. But also him just being like, you know, I'm like, also he has kind of an anger problem. Right. Where he's like, I just think I'm so fucking cool. I mean, that is like,
I'm the best in the world.
Yeah, and he's like, and he's a heel. I felt like that was kind of a defining. It was a big moment for me who's been looking for that. Because I feel like everyone's like, here's what, it's a little show, don't tell. It's like everybody's a little bit like, here's what he is. And then I'm like, well, I turn on the show every week and I don't really see him laying that down.
Right, right. I think it was, look, there was a time in the early 2000s where like there'd be a lot of like silly gimmick vignette, like little sketch videos they'd make. Like there was a whole WrestleMania, I think it was 25, which was promoted with just doing great movie parody vignettes because it was the big time.
Yeah, it's so 20, like, 21 in Hollywood.
Oh, okay. They had a Few Good Men sketch.
Yeah,
with,
that was for in the Staples Center.
That was fantastic, right? And that shows the
you
wrestling
for Shawn Kurt Angle match at WrestleMania 21.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I was at a party and it was being projected on the wall.
And then did you stop dead in your tracks and watch
it? And I just was watching.
Thing?
I was like, oh, this match is sick.
Did you see the Kurt Angle promo I read alerted that you needed to watch this week?
I didn't finish it.
Okay.
Because I was walking with my parents.
Well, you got to put those motherfuckers to bed and watch them Kurt.
Because
that guy, let me tell you one, so much Inception. But everyone now saying, oh, Baron Corbin's a good heel. Look, he gets a lot of heat. People actually boo him. Like, yes, he does. He's being a good heel. Yeah, he's getting booed. And I forget because a lot of wrestling is bad now, so I'm just like, no, he's good. He's very good. He's a good heel. I get why he's the captain of the Survivor Series.
Right.
Then I looked at this Kurt Angle promo from 2005 when he was a heel. This guy's fucking demolishing the heel game. Like, this guy's so much better at being a heel than Baron Corbin is jack shit compared to a real heel. When Kurt Angle was, I gotta post this thing to the group. People need to watch this thing. It's
oh my
so
god!
Good.
Someone just reminded me.
Yeah.
That we. We need to get your Ambrose assessment.
Five.
I've been teasing on the show for a while.
All right.
But wait, but all right. Writing that down.
Kurt Angle promo got a fucking tease.
You're bringing up a great point, and I want to highlight, and I think it's true. I had the same thing when CM Punk cut his fake promo on backstage.
Better than anything anyone's done in 5 years.
You go like, no, it is true. You're kind of like, you're like, well, like, since Cena's been gone, we've had no promo.
Right.
No, I mean, except for Bray, but I think it's another
thing.
He's
doing like an illusion. He's like creating a world.
But you don't have anyone who could just get the crowd going through attitude, right?
Yeah, well, there's been some good promos, maybe in WWE. Look, I fucking mark hard. I stand big time. I adore and love and deem the messiah of wrestling, Cody Rhodes. So he cut that promo.
Oh, you're right. It's AEW, but you are right.
But he cut that promo against Jericho where he called him a fucking stupid dick or whatever the fuck he called him, where he's like, you got a silver spoon in your mouth too. That shit That's Goosebumps levels. The shit where he was doing his feud with his brother for Double or Nothing, that's Goosebumps level. So there are wrestlers out there who are able to do that crowd.
Yeah, Cody's definitely promo of the year, 100%.
100%. But in WWE, maybe a little lacking. I'll tell you who fucking wasn't. Ricochet. That guy took a microphone on Monday Night Raw and I wanted to fucking kill myself.
Ricochet is a jabron on the mic.
Let me tell you something also. He needs a new tailor. The outfit he wore to fucking... What did I text you? I was watching Survivor Series. I'm like, Ricochet looks like a fucking idiot.
Well, I think it's because he's got the superhero gimmick.
Cool, get a new gimmick. Wearing,
I think those
he
are like...
He needs to change that gimmick in.
Captain Marvel pants or something, you know?
He looked like a Robin of some sort.
I'm not into it. I think they should... I'm not into the Ricochet superhero thing. I think I understand... I won't even give Vince shit for it. I think it was a cool, like... thing to try, but he just needs to be like a cool dude.
He just looks like shit. He's got to figure it out. All right, so where are we at? We're talking about lacking promos. CM Punk just has a gift. That guy's a gift. He can take the mic and rock it.
But if you watch anything with Rock, anything from Kurt Angle, even the guys that you put when Triple H gets on the microphone now,
when he does it right,
he cuts a promo that is so much better than and everyone else's promo except Heyman.
Sure, Heyman's not even a wrestler. He's not a wrestler for promo.
You realize how Mike is lacking so hard, and then if you look at the NXT roster coming up, we don't have a lot of Mike in the pipeline.
NXT notoriously is like we don't get to see the Mike.
No,
they'll bring it out later.
And that's why I'm hesitant to add Adam Cole to one
you're
of my
worried
guys.
About Cole.
He's not getting enough Mike time.
But I have faith on how fucking cool of a dude he is.
Right,
how good that he was in that psychiatrist sketch.
Yeah. As a sketch teacher.
Yeah.
That psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Why are you making jokes?
Well,
ground the fucking sketch.
Look, it's not what I said to you when you told me about it. I said, do these people know what the sketch is? Or has no one seen this thing?
Check it out. It was on backstage.
Okay.
So that's it.
It's
but
basically,
Adam Cole in a psychiatrist's office talking about his issues with, I guess his issue of
his
being
anger
haunted
issue.
By the fact that he's the best.
Yeah. Well, that he's like real mad because he's so fucking good.
Yeah.
It was a clear game of Adam Cole.
Yeah.
But the psychiatrist was also being an unusual thing. She was like too cool and like hip. And like kind of like a flirty of a psychiatrist.
Yeah, and she did like a yep thing.
She was trying to nag him like, okay, buddy, you need to watch that shit a little bit. Like, she was also trying to be cool, and that doesn't help to prop up or like highlight or accentuate the game of the scene, which is Adam Cole's The Unusual Thing.
Right. Why? But that's like basic writing.
Right, but it also didn't have a lot to beat. Like, it's not a UCB style sketch.
Yeah.
It is what it is a minute and a half long vibe piece where both of them are just trying to get their fun in.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of a bad improv
scene. No one cares about her.
I care about her. She made me a believer.
Oh, okay.
She was all right.
One of your guys, that girl?
That girl. What was her name in the sketch? Dr. fucking whatever?
Moskanovich.
She's one of my guys. Dr. Moskanovich is from Tekken. All right. So, Adam Cole, he's not one of my guys. Here's, I want to get into what maketh one of my guys, because I don't think it's really been broken down enough on your podcast. Has it?
What?
Like what one of my guys is about.
We did. I talked about, I think that it was a convo we had with about Finn.
But it's like, so the thing is, this is my baby, right?
Yeah. I think that we had that one convo.
Yeah.
Where we were disagreeing.
About Finn Balor.
And
I said, look.
And it ultimately, I said this origin story. It was kind of like, yo, he's just not one of my guys. So, like, what are we talking about?
Finn's just one of my guys, and I just like him.
And it can be used that way, too, where it's like, look, you can argue all these points about why he's not good, but ultimately, he's one of my guys, so back off.
So, the thing about one of my guys is it's someone you fucking truly believe in that you think could do great things.
And it's not someone you're looking to bail on because the writing for them is not good at the time.
It's something you know
is
good.
It's above booking.
It's above booking. It's you just like someone's deal.
Right.
You're rooting for them. Great example. I love Orton so much.
Yeah.
I love Drew McIntyre so much. Drew McIntyre, outside of Bray, is probably my most exciting guy. I'm so glad he's back.
Right.
I think he is one of my guys, right?
Yeah.
However, when I saw him square up against Orton the other day, I was like, holy shit, in my heart, I'm actually kind of fucking rooting for Orton here. Like, Orton is just so one of my guys that he's even more one of my guys than McIntyre.
Right.
So it's kind of who you're pulling for. It's who you want the best for. It's who you know can fucking deliver. And sometimes it's someone who's a real diamond in the rough, and you want to shepherd them to greatness. Like, so Finn, for me, I was like, this is one of my guys. I'm going to stand behind him. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to ride this wave. I'm going to see how far he gets. I'm going to see, because I think he can get there. I'm going to believe in him till he does or not. That's why I'm almost willing to make Damian Priest one of my guys, because it's a diamond in the rough. I'm like, I maybe want to champion this guy and see how far my belief in him can take him. Because with a guy like me behind you.
So you're talking about a preemptive one of my guys.
Sometimes
a risky one of my guys. Because can someone become that one of your guys?
Sometimes people, it's like falling out of love, man. You know, sometimes just someone's not one of your guys. Like,
but it can't be booking based.
No, but it's kind of learning more about them. Like Seth Rollins, I think, is everyone, all of our guys, right?
Yeah, Seth Rollins I'm never bailing on. He's one of my guys.
You can't bail on him, but you're thinking about it.
I mean, it's not easy.
You're thinking about
it. It's a tough relationship.
You're thinking about it. It's always easier to have someone be one of your guys when they're not as appreciated as they should be. Because if they're overappreciated, then you don't need to root for them and tell everyone how good they're going to be. You don't need to assure everyone and like champion them. Seth Rollins doesn't need you to champion him. Everyone knows he's fucking Seth Rollins. And in anything, he's like overexposed now. Right. Like no, Roman Reigns is nobody's guy is Roman Reigns.
I mean, he's somebody's guy.
He ain't my guy.
No way.
But I'm just saying, it works better, or it's more fun to have that belief. Like Bray Wyatt has been one of our guys from the jump.
Oh, yeah, right away. And I think Bray Wyatt is like, Bray Wyatt is like, every once in a while something happens, like the Planeswalker card in Magic, right? Where like something happens to the game. Someone changes the game and I go, oh, wow, I got to pop back into wrestling. That over the years, it was Cena what was one of the things for that. Like when I saw a shot of like him on a cover of a magazine, I wasn't really watching.
Right.
And then I just saw like this guy with the chain around his neck and he was real jacked up. And I was like, I'm interested to see what this guy's about.
Yeah, I gotta look at this guy's body.
And then I saw a picture of Bray. I mean, I was watching, but I mean, the first time I had seen Bray, like the rocking chair, the Hawaiian shirt, the fedora.
It worked great because this was on the heels of True Detective being a big deal. And classic wrestling playbook is they just take something kind of cool in pop culture and just kind of wrestling it up a little bit.
I feel like he was going before that.
Nope, there's no way.
I'm pretty sure he was.
I'll tell you what, I don't know for sure. But just based on common sense alone, I'm like, there's no way.
I think he was.
Well, I'm going to say there's no way.
I just think he was.
All right, let's look it up later because we don't have time for this kind of fact checking right now. We didn't even talk about our first topic, which is Adam Cole.
Baby.
So we both love Adam Cole. Arlen doesn't really like him that much, but he's not one of our guys.
He was
the star of the week. We know this guy can deliver insane matches. We know this guy can lead a huge stable. We know this guy looks good as the guy.
And the crowd loves him.
The crowd loves him. No, everyone's chanting Bay Bay, right? We know this guy is a handsome dude, a charismatic dude, and he's got it. This is what I said in that video from La Boca Ria. Some guys are good wrestlers.
Right.
Some guys are good looking. Some guys are bodies. Some guys cut great promos. And also, you need to have it. Mm-hmm. And as you guys, I'm right now rubbing my forefinger and index finger to my thumb like I'm seasoning salt, only upside down. It's like what a chef would kiss. It's that, but I'm rubbing it. Can you hear that?
They can hear that. Yeah, they can hear that.
He's got it. Yeah. Now, Keith Lee does not have it. He's a great wrestler. Okay. He's got an interesting look. People like him. He doesn't have it.
Okay.
So there's a real fucking ceiling on that guy. Jinder Mahal became champion. But that guy does not have it.
No.
He doesn't have this it factor. Adam Cole has it, and that's worth more than anything else you can have. Because you could get bigger in the gym. You could change your moveset. They could give you Paul Heyman to help you cut promos. They could book you well. But if you don't have it, you can't be as big of a star as the biggest stars. And Adam Cole has it. Maybe he's undersized, but he's got it. In a world where you and other people want to tell me how fucking good Zack Sabre Jr. is and how good Darby Allin is, those guys are good.
Right.
I hate Zack Sabre Jr. I think he's a piece of shit. Darby Allin's at least interesting to me. But if you're not going to complain about those guys' size and say how they're great, how could you even doubt Adam Cole? The guy is bigger than those guys, and he has it.
Yeah. Look, I think it is an interesting thing. And I also think if we want to talk about your track record, okay, you have a track record of being a little, what I call it, a little Vincian, okay? There's a little bit of a, of being like, this guy sucks, blah, blah, blah. Sure. And then you're like, I was totally wrong about this guy.
Well, do I ever say I was totally wrong about anybody, or am I always right from the jump? The only
Daniel Bryan.
Well, but All I said is, I wish I could see what you guys all see.
Yeah, I don't. You weren't into Seth Rollins.
And then he gave... That's not true. And then...
You were not into Seth Rollins.
Daniel Bryan gave it to me when he started...
When Seth Rollins was in the Shield, he was wearing...
Time the fuck out. Now we're getting out of control here. Yeah. We got to reel this in before it gets out of control.
You hated Seth Rollins.
Absolutely not. Here's what happened. Yeah. I want to finish the Daniel Bryan thread. Daniel Bryan, I think... Like I said a million times, was a benefactor of great timing. CM Punk was gone. Everyone hated how we vinced out the real great wrestler here. So they said, we're never going to let it happen again. And they jumped behind Daniel Bryan. He was less interesting than the moment, right? And he was the guy of the moment. Okay. And I just said, I never felt that this guy was as good as everyone said he was. Then when he started being the world's champion and healing off with Kofi, I was like, okay, look, now I see this guy's actually doing something interesting. This is actually some great wrestling. And I was willing to raise my evaluation of him. I was never wrong. I was right before that he wasn't good enough. And then I was right after when I said, now he's better. And he's actually good, and I'll give him that.
Okay.
Seth Rollins, I said nothing that no one else in the world didn't say, including you. Right. I said, when you looked at the Shield, when it was led by Dean Ambrose, before it was led by Roman Reigns, the initial Shield, Dean Ambrose was the leader. None of those guys had much mic time because they didn't need to. They just came out, they mashed, it was great. The gimmick was the mic time. I said, two of these guys are future fucking champs, and one of these guys is a fucking idiot. And Seth Rollins had that yellow streak in his hair. He wore the worst Shield outfit. Yeah. They didn't showcase any of his wrestling. He was just like the dweeby Weasley fuck who somersaulted over the fucking barrier, and that's all he did.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns shut his fucking mouth, and he looked like a gajillion bucks. He looked insane. He looked like a black Thor. He looked, even though, I don't know what the fuck, he's Samoan. He just looked like a god, right?
Yeah.
And Dean Ambrose was the fucking cool renegade dude. Yeah. He looked great. He pushed his hair forward like a Caesar dude to hide his baldingness, and no one was the wiser. But Seth Rollins was nothing. He had like grenades on his chest. He looked like shit. Now, later on, all of a sudden, now Roman Reigns is stepping up as the main guy in the Shield. This is the guy they're trying to push. Okay, now Rollins is in these matches. He's doing he's doing double fucking suicide dives, running back in the ring, jumping off again. He's doing acrobatics of all sorts.
Right.
He's giving A-plus matches. I go, holy smokes. Let me take a closer look at this piece of shit. He looks like an idiot, but he's doing some great match work here. And when I turned, everyone turned. You didn't like Seth Rollins when the Shield came out. You ranked him third like every other red-blooded American because he was third.
Yeah.
I never hated Seth Rollins. I just said he wasn't good enough.
Yes. Seth Rollins screwed Seth Rollins.
I will say another thing. Yeah. From fucking time immemorium, I've been saying that Roman Reigns is not the guy that the people are ever going to believe to beat Brock Lesnar. They don't want him to beat Brock Lesnar, so WWE is never going to pull the trigger. And I always said it's going to be Seth. Seth is actually the guy it's going to be because they're behind him, and WWE is behind him. He's a company guy.
Right.
And lo and goddamn behold, I was right about that too, where they never pulled the trigger on Roman, and they wound up just going with it being Seth.
Okay, here's the deal. What I'm saying is that... I don't think you made any points that I disagree with, but I'm saying that when it comes to it factor, one thing that I've learned over time, and this goes for all arts, is like, yes, there are it people, okay?
Yeah.
There are like, if you want to put it into comedy, there are like Kate McKinnons or whatever, right?
Sure.
Like people who like we're around who immediately you're like, whoa, this person is like born with all the gifts and blah, blah, blah.
Kate McKinnon, friend of the pod.
Friend of the podcast. Someone like that, right? Like you're someone we knew coming up. So there's always going to be people with that it, like that, like just that raw clay, that raw talent or whatever, you know, ready to blast off. And I think that translates to wrestling. I think there are more talents that are equally great, but are more nuanced talents and are more hard work people.
Right.
And I like to look at those people on the same plane as the obvious talents.
Right. Here's what you're doing right now.
What?
You're equating two different definitions of it.
Okay.
Right? There's an it person, like, oh, this is the it boy of comedy, or this is like the it Hollywood actor.
Right.
And there's, they have it. I'm using it as a thing that someone can possess or not possess, a characteristic.
Right.
And you're using it as an adjective to make them a, like, my it is a noun, it's a thing you can have. You're using it as like a way to define a person. They are the it boy right now. That's an adjective that's saying like they're the popular or the obvious choice or like the person who's really popping off right now. Those are different uses of it.
I guess so. I'm not talking about their it because they're like firing on all cylinders, but because they're popular.
Well,
I mean, like, I'm talking about Edge. Okay, let's talk about Edge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about Edge.
Edge, the wrestler who you thought was a jabroni.
Oh, sorry, different guy.
Edge, the wrestler that you were like, yo, he sucks. When he started getting good, I was like, Shebs, I think Edge is fucking doing great work right now. Yeah. And you're like, no way, that guy's an idiot. Right. Blah, blah, blah. However, and you were right.
Of course, I was just right.
Just like Seth, you saying he was the worst Shield guy, blah, blah, blah.
He was the worst town I've ever been to.
At this point, this is the worst town. No, but I'm saying Edge was doing the you think you know me.
He was coming through really the crowd. He was wearing stupid fucking glasses.
He was wearing the bug glasses. He was really trying to find something.
Right.
And also, like, his physique wise, like,
it's a rough physique.
We're talking about a time where there were no Daniel Bryan size guys. No. Edge was so small compared to all the other guys.
Right.
He was wrestling Taker, Batista, Cena. These guys were massive.
Monsters.
These guys were massive. And Edge was, honestly, is a guy who he doesn't get a lot of credit for paving the way for guys of his size.
Because
he's like
tall.
A pencil.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But he's also kind of lanky.
Sure.
I mean, and Edge was getting popped for juicing all the time, and it never showed.
Right. But he was trying. That's the thing. That's the thing I say about Cole is like, look, he's got one issue, and it's fixable. He just needs shoulders.
Right.
He just needs bigger shoulder muscles.
Right.
That's it. You've got some traps and some nice rocking shoulders. It's going to fill out that frame. It's going to make him look a little bit more fucking muscular, and he's going to be $1 million.
I don't think anyone would argue against that Cole should should consider a cycle.
It's specifically, he needs to work on the shoulder. I could personal train this guy. I'll take him to the gym. We'll do military press. We'll do fucking the thing where you do a raise.
Do military press.
You do all that shit.
Yeah.
You do some fucking shrugs, get some traps going. Anyway, look.
But how much does size matter?
It doesn't matter that much. It's like money, right?
Right.
It doesn't. It's not the most important thing in the world, but if you don't have it, it could be a problem, right?
So,
if you're really fucking poor, and sorry, I don't know how many podcast listeners you have below the poverty line, but if you're fucking $30,000 in debt,
you make $10 a week.
I'm just saying, that's a tough go, right? If you're if you have no shoulder muscle whatsoever, and you've got a European frame, and you're 5'7", that could be an issue if you're trying to run with the big boys.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that if Adam Cole, like, Survivor Series was this year, and they did a thing where it was like, oh, NXT versus Survivor Series, blah, 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 NXT, you know what it was, Raw, SmackDown. But they didn't have what they normally do, which is all the champions versus each other.
Right. Well, they did
a match
for the
that
women.
Would be Brock. But they didn't do it for all of them.
Right.
If it was Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Versus The Fiend.
Right.
Versus Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Bay.
Yeah.
He would look ridiculous
he
in that ring.
He would look insane. But you know why they didn't do that match?
Why didn't they do that match?
I'll tell you why they didn't do that match.
But they don't want The Fiend to lose, right? They don't want Brock or Fiend to lose.
Well,
they didn't want to pin Adam Cole either. It's a lose. The whole thing was a loss.
This is the reason why they didn't do it. Too much talent.
Yeah.
Each of those guys is a fucking main event draw on their own.
Yeah.
We don't need Bayley with fucking Shayna and Becky.
Right.
Like, because no one's going to watch a fucking Bayley match or a Shayna match. They need Becky. That's one talent in that ring, right? You don't need Bray fighting Brock, fighting Adam Cole, because individually, all three of those guys are going to make a fucking great match happen that people are going to tune the fuck in to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Period. That's why they didn't do it. It's a waste of everyone's talent.
I think Adam Cole is one of my guys.
Look, it's not a bad call.
I think I talk about him so much. I think I'm just avoiding the. I think Adam Cole is one of my guys.
It's like we had a friend in high school. I'm not going to name
it. How many podcasts am I going to just talk about this guy? He's one of my guys.
That's huge, by the way. Congratulations on finally. Mazel tov.
Yeah.
But we had a friend in high school who.
Well, Roddy Strong is one of my guys. The Undisputed Era is one of my guys. How would Adam Cole not be one of my guys?
It
makes no fucking sense. He's one of my guys.
We had a friend in high school who was dating a girl and he loved her, but he would lie. He'd be like, that's not my girlfriend. I'm not dating her.
I
don't even like her. I don't even know what you're talking about. And you guys spied into his house and peeked through a skylight to see him like hooking up with her
one time.
Which is totally legal, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're like, bro, we know that you guys are together. We like her. We like you. Just fuck it. It's fine. But I don't know why. He couldn't admit it. I guess he thought he was too cool for her, too handsome. I don't know what the fuck it was. That's you and Adam Cole right now.
Not only mentioned, like,
girl.
I used to watch him wrestle at PWG.
You love this guy.
And he was a cool dude. I talked to him
Adam
one time.
Cole is one of your guys.
Baby!
Embrace it, baby!
Another thing that realized that he might be one of my, that he is one of my guys is because, like, and when you say his name, I want to say baby.
Baby! Yeah, like, you can't help it.
You can't even help it.
Adam Cole should be one of your guys.
Right.
I love it. That's great.
Adam
I'm so
Cole.
Happy for you.
Yeah, thank you.
You heard
man.
Your post in the pod. You needed to come to New York and sit down with me, a real fucking talent. You need to talk with a professional broadcaster.
Let's make this about you.
I don't know what fucking assholes you're having on this show. oh, we can't do the, oh, Tulo and Arlen are going to come. I need to, no, no, it's me. It's me, baby. You have me on the show. You come to personal realizations. You're growing. You're learning. We're entertaining the people. We're coming up with great fucking things. Who came up with one of my guys? Me. Who came up with gun to the head? Me. These are Shabiroian terminologies. We need them.
This is a great thing for us to do. It's to congratulate the great work we're doing while we're doing the work.
Now, you know what I mean? That's the Jason Shabiro way. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Now, here's, now that we know that Adam Cole's one of your guys, let me tell you my problems with him. Here's why I don't like Adam Cole, okay? I like everything he's doing. He's got undersized shoulders. Here's the one peeve I have, and it's not major, and I'm okay with it, but it's worth mentioning that it's a little bit dicey for me.
And by the way, he can still be one of my guys and me say, like, and me still acknowledge the size issue.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he does the Shining Wizard. That's a knock. Right. But he calls it the last shot. We know it's a fucking Shining Wizard, bro.
Yeah.
Then he does the Canadian Destroyer, which is a very cool move.
Yeah.
And he calls it the Panama Sunrise.
Yeah.
Which is cool because he's from Panama City Beach.
Yeah.
I get it. The only issue is that move has a lot of history.
Yeah.
It was Petey Williams' finisher. He popularized it. Canada should not be disrespected in that manner. I just feel disrespected.
This is why he's not one of your guys?
He's disrespecting the biz. He's disrespecting the biz.
What about Kevin Owens doing the stunner?
Does he call it the Owens maker? He calls it the fucking stunner, bro.
Honestly, that's actually the saving grace of it, is that he's just straight up being like, I stole the stunner.
Yeah, and it's great. And it's awesome. Because you know why it works for Owens?
Yeah.
Because we know that Kevin Owens
such a Stone Cold fan.
Wrestling, and he loves Stone Cold. And he's up at night going, am I even worthy of doing the stunner? But I love it so much. He does it with so much respect.
Yeah.
He does it with so much respect.
I mean, it's my finisher as well.
It's your finisher too.
Yeah.
But even Owens, even as much as
what's the point of another finisher?
As much, right?
It's already the master of the finisher.
Like, I love the Max Stunner, the way Vince McMahon would do it. It was like a little bit of a cutter almost.
Yeah.
He tried but didn't do it right.
Yeah.
But we know Kevin Owens does it with nothing but respect.
Yeah.
We know you do it with nothing but respect.
Yeah.
I think, personally, that Adam Cole, is calling it the Panama Sunrise. He's trying to put one over on us. He's trying to say, no.
It should be called the fucking Toronto Maple.
It has nothing to do with Canada. I made this shit up in Panama City Beach, but I think he's doing it with disrespect.
Wow. But it's a heel. Isn't that great heel work?
Maybe that's just because he's so good at being a fucking heel.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think, just looking at out the window at the W Hotel.
Yeah.
It was a huge W. And I'm like, if that was a WWE hotel,
I would stay there. I pay rent in Brooklyn. I'd stay in that hotel in New York City. I'd stay there anyway. I don't care. I'd rent an apartment and sleep at the WWE Hotel.
WWE needs a Vegas hotel.
They need an airline. Hooters had an airline for like 3 minutes before all the airlines went broke. There was Hooters Air. I was like, man, I wish I was flying that air. I wish I had like a fucking platinum status. Could you imagine? Could you just imagine you're on a fucking airline and they're wearing fucking booty shorts and serving you chicken wings? It's ridiculous. It's such a goof.
Okay, so I think we
talked about one topic. It's been an hour. It's been the entire episode. We've got about 20 more minutes.
Okay, so let's go. It's fine.
I've got a whole list of things. You've got a whole list of things.
All right.
I say let's just impose like a speed date on these things. Let's just hit the points and keep moving.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. What do you want? What's first on your list? Can I tell you what's first on my list?
My thing is such a long thing.
So let me do one first, just get one out there. The first item on my list is fuck Vic Joseph. Who the fuck is this guy? I'm sick of seeing his dumb face. I don't give a shit about this guy. They never even introduced me to the fucking guy. And now he's on Raw all the time?
Schweppes original.
Duh. All right, so anyway, now that I've properly fucked off Vic Joseph, what's your first
I have not. I agree. I don't care about Vic Joseph.
Next order of business.
I always say my biggest flaw with watching wrestling is I don't retain, like, the announcing. It's like, it doesn't even exist to me.
Fair enough.
I'm too busy, like, doing my own, like, oh, look at this guy. Like, I got so much. Like, I'm not, like, I don't need anything from those guys.
Right, right.
I don't need anything.
No,
none of them are doing anything interesting.
Nah, but look, JR is a fucking legend.
Yeah. Corey Graves, mad funny.
Mauro Ranallo is a fucking second to only JR.
Can we just talk about Mauro for a second?
Yeah.
Love Mauro. Mauro is one of my guys.
Yeah, Mauro's one of my guys. I met him. Yeah. I met Mauro Ranallo. I was wearing my Ramones, Razor Ramon t-shirt. That's a Ramones album with all the...
He was here, right?
He was here.
Yeah.
I met Mauro Ranallo. I just went up to him like, hey, man, I'd love to get a picture. You're fucking incredible, man.
Yeah.
And he was like, that shirt is incredible. He was like, that's hilarious. I love this shirt. It's fucking
What shirt were you wearing?
The Ramones, but it's spelled like Razor Ramones.
It's all Razor Ramones on a wall.
It's a Ramones album cover, but they took all their faces off and put on Razor Ramones' face. He loved it. He's the man.
Yeah.
Bipolar rock and roller. Anyway, what were you going to say about Morrow? He's one of our guys.
He has some lines that are cringeworthy.
Look, his biggest catchphrase is Mamma Mia, which is insane that he can sell that.
Well, that I love.
But that's not in itself a good line.
Yeah.
But he look, I don't have him at the clip right now, but I can put together a list.
You could make a Morrow on the spot. Like, make a Morrow.
Morrow?
A Morrow is just, it's like, and after all, we're all a Wonderwall.
No, that's what he does, right? But he does stuff like, he'll be like, it is hotter than a set of Louisiana biscuits. Like, he'll do stuff like that. Be like, yeah, that's pretty good,
I guess. He always takes a lyric or like a 90s song, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. He does a lot of great work.
He just like, it's like to put it in Bell Biv DeVoe, this girl is poison.
He is
Bow.
Poison.
Yeah.
No, but he, look, the thing about Marinola,
it's perfect for wrestling, though.
He swings big. And when you swing big, you hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
And you strike the fuck out a whole bunch, too.
As a performer, I respect him.
You gotta respect him. He's incredible. Okay, next topic.
I mean, I said he's one of my guys. Well, okay. Not all of mine are long. All right. Okay, short. Here's a short one. Should War Games and Survivor Series have more stakes?
Everything should always have more stakes.
Right.
Period. Right? So it'd be great if the winner of War Games gets X, right? Or right. Be Survivor Series is very interesting.
Because like, if Rollins comes out at the beginning of Raw and is like, yo, we failed big last night.
Right.
Is that enough stakes to like see that they're affected?
Look. Everyone knows the brand split and the fabricated.
Right.
These brands are competing. They don't like each other. All that doesn't really hit
because
it doesn't really feel real. So
it's like when you see Dolph Ziggler wearing like a SmackDown hat, and you see like Kyrie Sane in like a Raw hat and like a Raw shirt. It's like they don't give a fuck what brand they're on.
He fucking barely speaks English. He knows what Raw is. It's ridiculous. Rollins comes out and he's like, seems like, manufactured or disingenuous, and Rollins is like, this is embarrassing. Come on, guys, we gotta get there. However, it actually does make sense for Rollins to come out and say that because he's such a fucking stick in the mud, such a fucking dork, that he would actually be upset about that stuff.
Right.
But it makes no sense for Randy and Charlotte to be like, ah, fuck this guy. I don't have time for this bullshit.
Right.
They wouldn't give a fuck.
Right.
But I understand why Rollins would be like, come on, guys, we gotta get fired up and we gotta do it.
Yeah. Just kind of like,
he's lame. He's a lame-o. Yeah.
And like, I understand with wrestling that, like, with WWE, like, I understand that not everything they're gonna do is gonna work.
Right.
Like, they're all year round. And I think that's kind of the thing that some people who are WWE apologists get frustrated by with the criticism is like, they're like, yo, they're trying stuff, blah, blah, blah. But like, to me, my frustration is that, you know, they're not trying hard enough to make this stuff make sense write a show.
They're trying as hard as they all that content.
Matt Hardy came out this week. He like reemerged and he's now back to like Hardy Boy.
He's fixed.
Yeah, he's Matt Hardy 1.0, I think we call that.
Yeah,
this
is Matt Hardy 1.0.
And it just was like a reminder of like, wow, like the broken gimmick. They really didn't give that a fucking shot.
They didn't know what to do with it.
Remember
when they put him with Bray?
Yeah.
What a fucking waste of Bray.
The Eater of Worlds? Oh, wait, what was it called? The Deleter of Worlds.
Yeah, I mean, fun portmanteau, but other than that, it's nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, so, all right, so you think there should be more stakes?
Yeah, but
you don't think it's fine to just... And War Games specifically. So some people, I was like, well, War Games, what's the stake of a War Game?
Right.
And some people were like, to beat the other team, isn't that enough? That was the criticism I got.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know, it feels like such a big event.
Well, look, stakes are good. I feel like you always get hung up on, like, why would the people want to be having this match? What are the stakes? And they're answering that question in AEW as they answer all the questions. Right? By having like records matter, this and that.
Right.
I don't think it needs that stuff that you're talking about.
Right.
If it exists for the meta reason of being fucking entertaining. Right.
Right.
I don't need stakes for War Games if Adam Cole is taking that bump.
Right.
Right. If that chomp Adam Cole spot happens.
Right.
I don't give a fuck what it's for.
Because I loved watching
it's
it.
For,
so who cares?
It's for your legacy. Like to say you cannot. If you had doubts about Adam Cole and he won this weekend and he took that fucking bump.
Yeah.
Off the top of the cage, which is incredible.
Right.
And then he came out and put on that match with Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
You got to go, what the fuck? I don't give a fuck what the
it's
stakes
like
are for.
Wrestling is not about wrestling, right? It's always like that.
It's about the moments.
It's like
about the legacy.
It's really like all you remember. And that's something Vince knows.
Exactly.
Like really when it comes down to it, go back to even Becky headlining WrestleMania. The match was not amazing.
Right.
The finish was completely botched.
Right.
And the lead up to it was really sloppy.
Murky.
But ultimately, it's like, Becky, two belts. Yeah. That's all you remember.
That's all that matters. That's the moment.
Then, right? Like, all you remember is that Chris Jericho's the guy who unified the titles against Stone Cold the Rock. Sure. I don't remember what the lead up to that match was. Right. I don't remember what it was. So Vince is just a product of doing this for a long time, right, knowing, like, you'll remember that bump.
Right.
Like,
well, and that's it. The thing. It's not just the booking. It's not just, like, right, who has the belts at the end.
No, it's
also,
about
like,
the
moment. Like,
right,
what, like, if probably the greatest moment in my head, or the moment that I replay the most when I talk about, like, the awesomest shit I've ever seen in wrestling,
right,
it's Undertaker throwing Mankind off the Hell in a Cell. I love it. I watch that every 3 months.
Right. Like, no one talks about the feud.
Right. I don't even know what the fucking angle was. I don't know.
It's kind of like not everything needs to be Ciampa Gargano.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. The feuds matter if they're like iconic.
Right.
The spots matter if they're iconic.
Iconic.
Yeah, it's got to be iconic. That's it. That's what matters the most. So real quick about this, just leads me to the Becky match.
Yeah.
That triple threat match with Becky, Shayna, and Bayley.
I don't remember any of it. Do you?
It was, I don't know if it was good or bad. It wasn't memorable. The thing is this, though. I know, I love Becky. Becky's my girl. She's one of my guys. And she's my guy. When you were complaining about her fucking steampunk shit, I was like, one of my guys. I like her.
You but liked her during steampunk, 100%. Becky?
I liked her since fucking NXT. I liked her from the jump because I
liked her in NXT. Main roster run before the man. I did not like it at all.
I don't think it was successful, but that's what one of my guys is about.
Right.
It's about rooting for someone you see something in that you know is good,
that
you can see how they can make him better, and you think they're better than people are giving them credit for. Like, I didn't hate the goggles because she took them the fuck off and then she wrestled. It was fine.
I think heel Becky.
It was great.
Man Becky. It was so one of my guys.
She tapped into something. She hit she hit lightning, right?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, Becky Lynch is one of my guys.
She's one of my guys, but this triple threat and the triple threat from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'm noticing a lot of sloppiness going on.
It's sloppy.
It's sloppy. This is like Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, well, DJ Lou is in the room.
DJ Lou was in the room 2 minutes ago. It's a little
only
sloppy.
Only one listener knows what we're talking about.
I don't
about.
Know if it's her fault. I don't know if it's the other people's fault. I'm just knowing these triple threats women's matches.
Yeah.
A little sloppy.
It's sloppy.
They're getting sloppy. And so it takes something away.
Yeah.
Because the final spot of Mania match, they did botch the finish a little bit. Like, there's some major botches.
You're talking about women's wrestling in general?
No, I'm just talking about...
Because actually, the War Games women's match was pretty good.
No, that's fine. I'm just talking about specifically these triple threats with Becky, and I'm curious if it's a problem.
Oh, you're talking about her specifically.
Is this a Becky problem, or is this just a triple threat for the title issue we've run into? I just noticed that. I don't think it's Becky. I think there's a lack of in-ring chemistry with when it was Ronda, Charlotte, Becky, and there's a lack of in-ring chemistry for sure when it was Shayna, Bayley, Becky. And I actually think that Bayley does not have in-ring chemistry with anyone except for Sasha.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Sasha is the one who's the female WWE star who is known for the botch.
Well, but she has the best chemistry with Bayley. Her and Bayley have great chemistry, but I saw Bayley doing one-on-one.
But I'm only basing that on their NXT matches.
Well, that's fine. They wrestled them. They fucking wrestled those matches. Well, I saw Becky and Bayley doing spots in the ring, and it just, the bumps were weird. They weren't timing them right. The moves looked fake because they were like missing the fucking, they were falling at the wrong time. Like, it's slight stuff, but it takes me out of it a little bit. There was no major botches, but it was like an all around a little bit. They weren't dancing. They weren't making jazz. They weren't like putting it together in a smooth, cohesive way.
Right.
Other thing I want to say about the women's match is this, real quick. Bayley. I like heel Bayley.
Right.
Certainly better than fucking face Bayley. Like, you know, it was time for a change for sure.
Yeah.
Bayley's very interesting because it's still not working. Right.
Right.
At all. They were making her sort of like afraid of Shayna, but that she's also a bad guy.
Yeah.
They should have had her win that match. There's nothing to be
Bayley?
Gained. Yeah. Bayley needs it the most.
Well, they needed, they were not going to let Shayna lose.
They don't need to star make Shayna. It's a triple threat. You can have Shayna lose without it being her fault. There can be a crazy bullshit that happens with all three of them, and then she pins Becky, and it's not none of their fault.
You knew Bayley was going to eat that.
Right. Well, but that's the thing. Bayley needed it the most. Shayna's going back to NXT.
I agree.
Shayna's going to NXT where she can do whatever the fuck she wants.
The only hope for Bayley is wins.
Right. Well, but Becky didn't need it. She's incredible.
Right.
She can lose a triple threat. It's not her fault. Shayna doesn't need it.
Right.
She's a monster heel. Bayley needed it. What I'll say about Bayley is she's certainly not one of my guys, but I can see things that they need to do to actually make some cohesion of this heel turn and make her better. For one, First of all, I noticed when I was watching Bailey, when she was a good guy, that was high school Bailey. She's a little high school girl. She's got a ponytail. She's wearing bright colors. Yeah. She gets her nails done. She's having a great time. Ooh, I'm in science class. Yeah. It's a high schooler. Teeny bopper.
How long of a lecture do you have on Bailey right
Two
now?
2 seconds. Now.
So if I had to go pee, would you want to just talk about Bailey?
Ugh, no, just finish it out.
All right, fine.
Bailey was in high school. Now Bailey's in college.
Yeah.
We got college Bailey.
Yeah.
She got the angled dark hair now. She's put on more makeup. This is Bailey.
People are starting to notice her.
She's trying to reinvent herself. Oh, I was kind of a dork in high school.
Yeah.
Now I'm in college. These people don't know me. I'm going to do all the stuff I wanted to do. And it's still, when you do that in college, you're still not being yourself, right? You're still trying to find your way.
Right, right, right.
So I'm curious where Bailey's going to land. Having gone through high school, now she's in college. We do like a year of this shit. They're just going to figure out the next iteration.
Right.
The next iteration is going to be more interesting, I hope. The Bailey to Bailey suplex is not a fucking finisher.
No.
That's not even a C-level move in anyone else's arsenal. That should be her signature.
That was wordplay that was not worth it.
It's worth it as a signature.
Yeah.
And it's worth it when you're in NXT and you're in high school. That's some high school shit. Now you're in college, Bailey. You got to turn up the heat.
Yeah.
You're taking fucking classes with professors. They're wearing fucking blazers.
She should do powerbomb.
She needs a mean, nasty finisher.
Yeah.
Powerbomb. It could even be a strike.
Rock bottom.
Maybe if she does it with authority, just like Bray does, like the Uranage style.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Even a strike could work. She needs a vicious heel finisher.
Mm.
And you could keep the Bailey to Bailey as a signature. Come on, this is 101. Explain everything to these guys?
Let's do one last topic.
I got a bunch of quick ones, real quick though.
All right.
Let me get them in. All right.
About to piss my pants.
On Monday Night Raw, I saw Rusev wearing a nice tracksuit. It was a little olive green number.
I try to block out the Rusev Lana.
I haven't watched what's going on too much recently with it. What the fuck is going on with Rusev? He's got a restraining order.
Lana just started cheating on him with Bobby Lashley Lana claims that Rusev only wanted her for sex.
What does Lashley want her for? What does she want Lashley for?
This guy has no
personality.
No.
I'm assuming he's rocking a fucking python in there because he's so big, but like, he's a big guy. He's jacked. But
he's
like, what's
huge.
But what the fuck does she, you know, the storyline there, anytime you're doing relationship triangles, it's kind of a fucking lame, you know, they don't know what to do with you guys.
Yeah.
Rusev's got to go to AEW. If I put one guy on a plane.
That he's the guy I always think about.
Because Rusev should be one of everyone's guys. We all know this guy's personality shooting out of his fucking eyeballs.
He's funny and cool.
That guy.
And talented wrestler.
If I could put one guy on a plane right to fucking Cody Rhodes' house, it's Rusev, because that guy, the sky's the limit for it.
And
if
also
they do him right.
Like, being like Bulgarian is cool. Like, I don't know any like Bulgarian wrestlers or.
I don't know if it's cool, but it's.
I'm going to say it's cool, but.
It's not cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't really matter as much, but I mean, like, just from a diversity angle or whatever, like, I'm just interested in. Well, all wrestlers like him were sheiks for a long time or whatever.
I'm always interested in hitting a diversity quota while still having the guy be a white guy. So, yes. Love that you called Rusev diverse. All right, cool. Next topic.
Okay.
What the fuck are they doing with Rowan? That guy, if I could put him on a one-way plane to anywhere, it'd be fucking, I don't know, ROH or something. Get him out of my face.
Yeah.
What, he's doing like a what's in the box gimmick?
I think it's going to be like a
what's
little...
What's in the box?
I think it's going to be a hamster.
From Richard Gere's asshole? Like, this is my pet, this is my hamster, this is my gerbil that I put in my ass.
Digging deep.
Eric Rowan, gotta go. He's out of here. Get him the fuck out of my face.
All right.
Keith Lee. Everyone wants to know what I think about Keith Lee.
Yeah.
The guy's biggest gimmick of the weekend.
Everyone needs to
know. They need to know.
Yeah.
They're asking me, what do you think about Keith Lee? Talented wrestler.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're fucking doing with this guy. I don't know if he's happy or sad, if he's mean or cool. The one thing he did all weekend was just show respect to people. That's all I got with Keith Lee. You know, in War Games, he's fucking shaking Dominik Djokovic's hand. He's doing
Dijakovic.
They do a real, let's all pause. What are these two big guys going to do? Oh, they shake a hand.
Dijakovic, by the way, is one of Arlen's guys.
I know. And Nikki D. And then the next day.
And Keith Lee, one of Letterman's guys.
Well, sure. That's just because they're both more robust figured men.
Yeah.
Now, then the next day, he's the last man standing for Team NXT. Roman Reigns finishes him off with a spear, and then they do a fucking... Keith Lee gave him a Far East bow. He gave him like a fucking... A Far East cut,
and then
into a fist bump. All this guy's doing is creative ways to show respect to guys who fucking are better than him. I don't know what the hell's going on. They need to figure this guy out, because he is not going anywhere the way they're treating him. They need to give him something to fucking do. That being said, his power bomb on Roman Reigns leading up to the finish of that Survivor Series match, that That's amazing. It was a nice power bomb.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, bounced that motherfucker off the canvas.
Look, for me, Keith Lee, it's a little too soon for me to judge.
Not too soon for me. The guy doesn't have it.
PWG, he was great. He's a great in-ring wrestler. The bask in his glory thing is terrible. Like,
he's got just nothing doing.
The gimmick, he needs something more specific.
He doesn't have
it. It's too close to glorious. It's a little bit like, is he angry? Like you said that. Is he angry? Is he happy? Like, it's just a little in the middle.
It's the same problem.
It's kind of a classic indie wrestling problem where it's like, you need to develop more.
You know what I think? It's a classic fat guy problem.
Because he's fat?
Yeah, when you're a big fat guy, I don't know what the fuck to do with you. Mark Henry. Is he scary? Is he Halls of Pain? Right. Is he fucking sexual chocolate? I'll do everything.
When you're
King Mabel, Big Vis, now you're the sex machine. It's like, if you're like some bit, yeah, it's like because you're a monster.
Right.
And then if they don't know what to do with you, the monster, Rikishi's another example.
Once Daniel Bryan pins you, right, then where do you go? Do?
Now you're just a fucking fat right. guy again. Are you scary? Keith Lee has the advantage of he could fucking wrestle for sure.
Yeah.
But then
super athletic. But then,
that's thing. You know what? He needs to do what Rusev's doing. Because Rusev, we don't even realize he's a fat guy. He's kind of not that fat. But I mean, like, he's a big, solid barrel of a man.
Yeah.
But he's so athletic. He puts a great match.
Yeah, Rusev's not fat. I mean, he's more of just a. He's built.
He's larger.
He's like a column.
He's a marble column. Yeah. I'm just saying, Keith Lee, they need to upsell that this guy's going to fucking wrestle. I don't know. He needs
a gimmick for sure.
They need to put him with.
I mean, he needs a gimmick. I'm not saying he needs to be a clown or whatever, but he needs some attitude. He needs something.
I don't like his face. He's got a dumb face.
His face is fine. I got no problem. I actually like his look. I think it's cool. I just think the bask in his glory is so close to glorious, and it the glorious has a major stink on it.
Also
from the Bobby Lashley,
from Robert Roode, from
Bobby
Money,
from Bobby Roode's terrible adjustment to the main roster.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Like, Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
But the thing
Here's the thing.
When Bobby Roode would do glorious and he'd walk out in the lights and it'd be glorious.
It was way bigger than
you
this.
You knew that he fucking believed it, or at least he could like commit. This guy's like, I'm basking my glory out.
You remember like Bobby Roode was like, yo, that song like puts me so over. Like, and like, I mean, Bobby Roode, it's crazy. The fall from grace. He has the highest fall for me.
You can't take beer money away from him.
Well, I would say that. Beer money?
Big TNA champ.
But I do think
those are his best days.
Bobby Roode, I think, will have a moment.
I hope so.
He will.
You know what? They just need to figure out exactly what they need to do with him. And sometimes.
All right.
Oh, what else you got?
Last topic. Short. We gotta be short
but sweet.
Seth Rollins. Yeah. They're turning him heel clearly, right?
Sure.
And if arguably he's already heel, right?
Yeah.
On Raw.
Yeah.
This is the first time where they've done something where it's like. Everyone's like, he should go heel. And then they're like, oh, let's just do what you all want or whatever.
Right, right.
Part of me feels like a little like, like a little bit like, yeah, that makes sense. But also feels like you're doing it for us. And I don't like that a little bit.
Well, you know that doing it for her. Do you know what that means?
No.
That was the name of Seth Rollins as Tyler Black's tag team in Wrestling Society X on MTV. He was in an emo-based tag team.
Wait, I used to watch that.
Called Doing It For Her. So it's funny that you're saying that they're doing it for us.
It's kind of like, it's this thing where it's like, oh, we got to turn, the first time it's like, oh, it was like Cena, we got to turn Cena heel.
Right.
And it's like, let's turn Roman heel. And then now it's just like, well, Rollins has this heel attitude. And then they're just like, well, let's just, all right, fine. This is what you guys want. Let's turn him heel.
But do you think,
it's kind of interesting. Rollins, I feel like Rollins, so I don't know. I can't think of a time where this happened, but Rollins in shoot. Turned himself heel, and then they had to follow it.
Well, I feel like Ronda kind of did it maybe a little. I don't know. Maybe not.
I think that was manufactured.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. A couple things on this.
Yeah.
One, it's much easier to turn a Rollins heel than Cena or Reigns because those guys were babyface for life, right? So it's hard when there's no sort of precedent for heel turn to just, you know, you protect somebody. We're like, well, there's been a babyface for 20 years. I'm not just going to turn him now.
Right.
Like, there's cachet in Cena never going heel.
Right.
There's no cachet in Rollins staying face, so it doesn't really matter. So he's easier to turn.
Right.
Second, and I want you to make direct eye contact with me during this instead of looking at your motherfucking phone.
Yeah, go.
Is because this is important.
Yeah.
I'm possibly the most important guest you've had on the show since the last time I was on the show.
Possibly. Yeah.
It goes back to what I said before.
Yeah.
Is that Rollins is the guy that they do the things that they don't have the fucking balls to do with Roman too.
Right.
Roman Reigns, they wanted him to be the guy. They tried to make him be the guy who beats Brock, and the people would never go for it, so they kept hemming and hawing and hesitating. They ultimately couldn't do it.
Right.
It had to be Rollins. It was always going to be Rollins. He'd be the guy to clean finish Brock, right? Now, we're in the same zone. We got this big face. He's our guy. He's our guy. The people are getting bored with him. He's kind of boring. Like, he's kind of like a dorky. Like, I don't know. The kids like him, but the smarks don't.
Right.
He's in that same Reigns being thrown down our throats angle. So now when that was with Reigns, like, well, the people want to turn us heel. We should probably turn him heel. But they didn't have the balls to actually do it. With Rollins, they do. Right? So, like, Rollins is always going to be they're going to do the things with Rollins that everyone thinks would be cool that they could never really trust Reigns enough to pull off or to do.
Right.
Like, they just don't. You think they vote for Reigns. They don't. Because they especially post getting luked up, they're not putting all their eggs in this guy's basket. Okay. They're just not. Vince does not think like that. So Reigns is always going to be, oh, this would be cool if Reigns did that. This would be cool if Reigns did that. We need Reigns to do that. At the end of the day, Rollins is just as good in the ring as Reigns. He's just as big of a star as Reigns.
Right.
He's a better company than the guy than Reigns. So he's ultimately always going to be the guy that WWE does the stuff with. It's always going to be Rollins.
It's always Rollins. It's always been you.
If you think it's going to be something going on with Reigns, wait 6 to 12 months, and then that shit's going to happen with Rollins.
That's an interesting theory. We should track that.
That's not a prediction. It's a spoiler.
Oh, wow. All right. So that's enough for us. We're here in New York City clocking out, baby. We covered not a lot.
I think we covered a lot.
No, we got through it at the end there. And we deemed Adam Cole. I deemed him one of my guys.
That's the huge takeaway from this episode.
That's a huge thing.
TLDR, Adam Cole, officially one of Dan Black's guys.
And you didn't deem anyone one of your guys.
I am on record as saying that Damian Priest, if he plays his cards right, if they consult with me, if they let me Heyman this guy a little bit.
He's on a fast track.
I need to evaluate his look, I've seen two matches of his now. Yeah. I've seen War Games, very impressed.
Yeah.
Very impressed with this guy's Razor's Edge work. Very impressed with his in-ring charisma. Not his archery, anything before. No, but when he's in that ring doing those moves, he looks good. And then I saw Survivor Series where he did nothing but eat a pin. So I don't know. I gotta take a closer look. He might be one of my guys in 6 months.
The Archer of Tomorrow.
Archer of Infamy. That is arguably the stupidest moniker I've ever heard in my life.
I do like he like shoots the arrow at the Titantron. Like, I mean, it's so dumb, but I like it going on fire.
You know why it's stupid?
It looks cool.
Because there's a whole stable of guys who shoot a gun. And those guys are the Bullet Club, and bullets and guns are stronger than bows.
All right, we gotta get out of here, everyone. Chef. Thanks for bringing the heat, as always.
Muy caliente.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone, have a happy and a healthy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Right now, remember, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/comedianofwrestling. Pick up the shirt. If you're a patron, you get a double whammy Dan Black Friday doorbuster special. Mm. You get the Calmania shirt, plus the Dan Black is one of my guys shirt, the newest, hottest shirt, limited run, only going on sale for a short amount of time. Also get you a Lauren Moran print, $30 shipped. If you're not a patron, you can still get that shirt, $30 shipped. All the money goes back into the podcast, except for if a Fiend commemorative title comes out, a Fiend specific title comes out, I'm obviously gonna buy that. Hey, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it. Congrats to Jabroniak and Petroniak, Peter Hoare, past guest of the show,
absolutely,
for getting married. I was trying to get it in the pod, but you got married this week.
You did what I never could, my man. Congratulations, Mazel Tov. Very happy for you, buddy.
You did what Shebs could never pull off. Hey, everybody, happy and healthy. Keep watching wrestling.
Kisses.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on
Wednesday.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.